This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast is sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services.
This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast. I am your host, Akona Machoba. Thank you for choosing this weekly SME show as your preferred platform to delve into the issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. Now, if you live in Johannesburg or if you frequent the City of Gold for business or leisure travel, chances are you visited the Mall of Africa in Waterfall City. The Super Regional Mall is one of the continent's largest shopping center offerings with over 130,000 square meter chunk of development. It is majority owned by Attack Limited and is home to over 300 stores hosting both mega international and local brands. In October, Mall of Africa launched Souk, a flexible retail space that allows small businesses, online retailers, and even established brands access to the space on a short-term lease agreement. So today on the podcast, I am joined by Michael Clampett, Attack's Asset and Property Management Executive, to speak about how the space has performed in the last 2 months since opening and also get a sense of whether activity has met expectations. Welcome to the podcast, Michael, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Akona.
So first things first, it's been 2 months since the space officially opened. Has Souk delivered the result the group was hoping for when it launched in October?
It has completely exceeded our expectations from a numbers perspective. I think they had a number of key objectives and only time will tell whether, you know, we meet those objectives later on. But certainly from a start and the first 2 months, we're extremely grateful and happy with the performance of not only the clients in that center, but also the hype that it's generated around that product.
And what are those key objectives? Do you mind just running us through quickly what the numbers that you were targeting were for that space?
Yeah, maybe from an objectives perspective, it won't be that quick.
No problem.
If I explain just the logic and the context behind the Souk, as Mall of Africa settled as a brand in Gauteng and in the South African shopping landscape, we had a number of, I can refer to them as online retailers or micro retailers that approached us on an ongoing basis asking for some space. Now, in a mall environment, things are really formalized. It's quite expensive to fit out a space in a center, in a shopping center. Also, you have to sign a lease for a long period of time. And that's a big commitment to make for a lot of these online businesses or micro retailers. But we wanted to accommodate them somehow. So we found this concept called Souk in the UK, and they do flexible retail space. And maybe we can talk about the details later on. But certainly, our key objectives was to introduce or create a platform for small businesses to enter a physical retail environment like Mall of Africa at a much reduced sort of capital risk and exposure risk for that micro retailer. But then secondly, for the landlord, it also creates a fantastic opportunity to screen some of these retailers. And if they are really successful, we can offer them a more permanent space in our malls later on, but not off the back of a PowerPoint presentation or something like that, but off the back of data information, some trading information that gives us comfort, you know, that they will do well and be successful in our malls.
And then with regards to the details on the space, I mean, it's supposed to be a flexible retail offering for small businesses and online retailers, like you mentioned, but how flexible is flexible in this case? Can I rent a space for a week and then say, okay, I'm done? Or are there certain limits that I need to meet before I even gain access to that space?
You will even be able to rent it on a daily basis. So what we have experienced and learned in the first month and a half is that to set up the store and make it ready, you know, it takes a little bit of effort. So sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense to only have it there for one day. But once again, remembering that these are smaller businesses, so they prefer to take it over a weekend or for a week. So in terms of flexibility, really, it's up to the business to decide how long they want to keep it. But where we have more sophisticated users, i.e. a shoewear brand launching a new product, and you know they've got teams of people that do these setups. For them, it's very easy to just come in for a day, do the setup, launch that product, and they're out by this evening. So really, the flexibility is up to the user of that space.
And I'm thinking now, Michael, I mean, we've had these types of formats being used maybe in the residential or hotel accommodation space where people are booking space at a certain premium for a certain time. Does that account here? Is it a matter of the weekend is popular, so we're going to charge a little extra? Or is it a flat rate that you charge to the businesses that want to use the space?
So at the moment, it's a flat rate. I think that might change in future as we settle down and as we understand the demand for souk and how people want to use it. But certainly at the moment, you know, if I can just give you some stats, we've had 118 inquiries already in the first month and a half. Of those 118, we've allowed 46 of them to sort of pass through and book. And of them, you know, 17 have been confirmed as occupiers. So for us, it shows that there's a demand for the space. And maybe in future, the way that we price it will be based on that demand and if we can keep the space full. But certainly at the moment, it looks like, you know, there's a lot of demand and we'll be able to keep the souk full.
And what is that flat rate looking like at the moment?
It could be anything between 2,000 and 4,000 rand per day.
Okay. And then what determines the range between the lowest and the highest that you have?
So once again, it depends on exactly what you want to use it for. So if it's a retailer at the moment, it might be more towards the 2,000 rand per day. But if it's a product launch once or if it's sort of more a marketing initiative, it might be closer to the upper end.
Okay. No, that makes sense. So let's speak about the use of space. I mean, we've seen property developers and property owners kind of struggling with vacancies in the last couple of years for various reasons. And I'm just wondering how much of this innovation in the Mall of Africa can be understood as a way for shopping center owners to combat less than desirable vacancy rates. I mean, I'm sure it's better to keep a space active and generating income than vacant.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I think for us, the exciting part of this, and we'll only later on, we'll be able to confirm whether it in fact transpired the way we thought it would, is that we are able to test a host of retailers now, and we can understand the impact and whether they have shoppers at Mall of Africa or not. And that gives us the opportunity with a lot more certainty to sign leases in future with these smaller businesses. I think when a landlord is faced with some vacancy challenges, you know, the one thing you don't want to do is to sign up, you know, 10 businesses in those vacancies, but they're not going to make it. And you're not sure whether they're going to make it or survive that. And so you're not really solving the vacancy problem in the longer term, where I think the souk really will allow us to identify and place businesses with a high likelihood of success. And in that way, you know, sort of permanently address some vacancies.
And then what kind of tenants have you had in the space since opening in October? I mean, I know you've had some big brands like the newly launched Kid Store by Somizi, I believe. But what other brands have you had occupying that space so far?
We had a host of retail brands. So I think we're going to start testing other uses maybe from next year onwards. So far, it's been retail only. As you mentioned, Sampire Kids by Somizi was our first occupier. It was tremendously successful. We've had Motherkind. We've had Galax Boy, who opened their first store in Gauteng with us. That launch was so successful. They are actually the first retailer to sign a permanent lease with us at Mall of Africa. So I'm very happy with that. So we've converted them into a permanent lease. We had Tabutis, we had Thesis. So, I mean, what's really exciting at the moment at Mall of Africa actually is we've got a tenant in there called Agenda Woman, and they'll be there for the next month. And basically, we've collaborated with them, and their objective and goal is to give women-founded and owned businesses some exposure. And so we've collaborated with them and we've given them the space for a month and we've said, you can use this for businesses in your network. So for the next month at Mall of Africa at the Souk, we'll have female-founded businesses being represented in sort of all categories, different trading categories. So that's very exciting in terms of how we are able to accommodate different types of businesses in the space.
I guess, Michael, as much as you mentioned earlier that you, as Mall of Africa, are looking at how these businesses are performing and you're seeing, considering how they would act or if they would be likely to be long-term lease holders with the shopping mall. But I guess at the same time, it's an opportunity for business owners to test Mall of Africa and see if they could actually benefit from the trading activity that is running through that space every day, constantly. Yes, you're testing them, but they're also kind of testing you.
Absolutely. And for some of them, there's a big learning, you know, not to say that, you know, physical retail and online retail is too different from each other. But certainly, you know, I experience a lot of the online businesses are learning a few lessons quite quickly, but they're learning them inexpensively. because they're not tied into, you know, a big lease, but they now understand trading hours. You know, what would staff shifts look like if I have to trade for 12 hours a day rather than, you know, fulfill a package via a courier service? So there's a lot of good things happening in the space, I think, for both parties. What we've also seen is there are a number of brands, and there's one exciting partnership that I can't announce yet, but certainly it's going to be really, really exciting for us in the new year to announce that. But we've given other businesses who we've been speaking to for a number of years now the opportunity to come in, and these are very established businesses, so they are not micro retailers, but maybe they haven't felt confident enough to enter Mall of Africa or to sign up with us. And now we've given them the opportunity to come and test us as well. And I think that can lead to a lot of opportunities that maybe would not have been available in the past.
And then with regards to the additional cost, I mean, you mentioned that the rental will range between 2,000 and 4,000. You clarified that. But I'm just wondering, obviously, there are issues that retailers, developers, property owners are dealing with in terms of load shedding and the like. Does that fall onto the owner for that day? Is there a way that you calculate that extra cost above rental, or is rental just rental and that's it? You come in, you pay rent, and you get out.
So we've tried to make it as simple as possible for people to use the Sukit Mall of Africa. So the rate quoted is a flat rate. That is the only charge that you'll be liable for that day. And we pick up the operating cost on our end. So we've worked out what that rental should be. So the retailer or the entrepreneur should just focus on, that's going to be my cost. It's fixed for that many days. And I should just come and sell some product.
Yeah. Okay. And then with regards to the big brands, I mean, yes, they are small businesses and they're starting out, but I mean, Sumiz is a big brand and Tando Tavet is a big brand already. So they kind of pull that attraction to Mall of Africa easily or more easier than a small business owner that is just trying to test out their product. How does Mall of Africa balance giving people like new faces an opportunity to use the space and then also obviously giving your big brands like your Tando Tabetas a chance?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So let me maybe just set it up by just stating what a tax business is again. A tax business is the ownership and management of precincts, property precincts in South Africa. So there's only five that we own and manage in South Africa. And the word community is something we use a lot because we don't manage these properties on a standalone basis. We really try and form a coherent community. Now, what's interesting is, if you look at these businesses, and by the way, Zumizi's brand, Sampar Kids, that was the first physical store he opened, and was tremendously. So prior to that, he's never had the experience of having a physical store. But what happens in my opinion, and so this is unproven, is what we have for these small retailers is we have mini communities, because they might be represented on business forums, online conversations and threads. And what happens when they come to Mall of Africa is it's not only that business that does the marketing, but it's whatever community or channel they are related to that also gets the message that they will be at Mall of Africa for that week. And we've seen, you know, a tremendous amount of activity. Maybe just to quote a number again, you know, we've seen over 1.2 million rands worth of, let's call it, marketing and PR AVE in the first month, only by people and the brands in the souk talking about them being at Mall of Africa. So certainly there's a lot of reach when these brands talk, whether it's in social media or whatever other channel they use, in their communities. And then those specific communities come and visit them for that week. And then next week, when there's another occupier, you know, it's a different community that we will bring to Mall of Africa.
And have you had tenants kind of testing out different times or time slots to use the space? Maybe someone will be like, okay, I want to come for a weekend and see how a weekend operates. Or someone will be like, okay, I'll come during the middle of the week to test out how that works. Has that been a place where a tenant has come back multiple times at different time periods to test out how activity fares?
Not yet in our case, but once again, we've only been open since the sort of second week of October. So you know, we've only had 8 occupiers. There's not a lot of data, but the souk concept actually comes from the UK, and it was started in 2020 in the UK on the back of a lot of vacancies from COVID in sort of their high streets. And what I can tell you is that in the UK, people rent it for the morning if they want to have a Pilates class. There are others that rent it in the evening to have, you know, maybe an art gallery or an artist showing his pieces, but only in the evening. There are a tremendous amount of use cases that are only applicable to certain time period. And that is happening in the UK currently. So I think time will tell. Once again, I'm repeating myself, but we've had 118 inquiries to date. So it's almost like we don't even have the luxury to start getting into that space. We've got demand. Micro retailers, online businesses want to be at Mall of Africa. And I think we're gonna service that demand first. And then a lot of these other use cases might only start playing out in 2024, I think.
And then just to close off then, in terms of expansion, you've just mentioned just now that there's quite the demand and you guys are just trying to handle the requests that are at your desk right now. But what is the expansion plan for the Souk concept? I mean, Attack owns multiple retail properties across the South African portfolio. Is there maybe a long-term plan to possibly open the same concept in your other properties?
Yeah, my view is we probably have to take an industry view on this one. If I look at the other assets we own, they are all fantastic and great. They, you know, situated in Potchefstroom and Pretoria and George and Stellenbosch. But they are what we call regional centers, you know, up to about 50,000 square meters. Mall of Africa is a super regional at 130. So there's a lot more people, a lot more activity, and the Souk makes sense. But feedback from some of our occupiers have really said, we've loved this concept. It's amazing to come in for a week or a weekend. And I really think there's a place for 10 to 15 Souks in South Africa, spread across the big malls in the country. But let's take Zumizi's business. If he signs up with Souk, let's say South Africa, he can be in Mall of Africa this week. He might be in Canal Walk next week. Could be in Gateway the week after. All in Souks that are coordinated. And he then almost becomes a Souk client and takes his brand across the country. So I certainly believe there's a future for the Souk in South Africa, but maybe the bigger malls. And then these micro retailers have an opportunity to also visit other towns in South Africa and not just Mall of Africa.
Sure. And that right there is Michael Clampett, Asset and Property Management Executive for Attack Limited, giving us an update on how the Souk flexible retail space, which is tailored for businesses that aren't quite ready for a long-term commitment just as yet, has performed since its opening in October this year. Thank you once again for your time, Michael.
You're welcome.
This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast was sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms and don't forget to share our episodes. If you wanted to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at machoba_a or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye, and do not forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.